Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you, Vanessa. On a Tuesday morning, Scotty Bailey from AAP Sports joins us to cover everything, especially in the world of rugby league. Good morning to you, Scott.
Good morning, Matty. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Gee, what a day of reflection for the game in many ways, but obviously around the passing of John Sattler. I just had a chat with Nick Pappas. They're planning some pretty big things in honour of Sats on Saturday night against Manly. Ironic, isn't it? I mean, the game really that became the defining story, not the defining part of his career, but the defining story was against the Seagulls back in 1970. Here we are in 2023, and the way that rugby league works, the week of his passing, it'll be the Rabbitohs v Manly again.
Incredibly fitting, isn't it? Mm. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Well, not funny, but isn't it interesting the way that, Sats is kind of remembered in two ways, isn't he? There's the tough Iron Man on the field who probably provided one of the two most defining images in the game's history, I would argue, is that in the Gladiators photo from about a decade earlier. And then off the field, though, he was known as Gentleman John. And I heard Brian Fletcher on SEN yesterday afternoon echoing similar words about how he was one of the game's great gentlemen, the way he fought for South Sydney during their exclusion from the competition in the late 90s and early 2000s. Like, there's sort of two sides to him, the guy we saw on the field and the guy that everyone knew off the field. And it's almost like they don't fit together in some ways, isn't it? Because, guy on the field who was so tough, the guy off the field who was just such a gentleman of the game and of life, yeah.
Yeah, incredible story. And we'll hear a lot more tributes and stories throughout the day and the course of this week, no doubt about it. Now, I've mentioned the news around that the NRL is looking at increasing squad sizes. So from 30 to 38, you're basically going up by two because there are six supplementary players at the moment. And then the interesting part is that they could all play in round or as of round one. So is this the changing face of the game that we're seeing now, Scott?
Look, I think it's inevitable that we go down this path somewhere. I mean, we've seen this year an astounding, I shouldn't say astounding, but a large number of concussions, far more than we saw last year if you compare on a weekly average. I think we're sitting at somewhere around 8 per week. I said the number, 22 over the first three rounds, so 7 per week. That's well beyond last year's numbers, which sat at somewhere around 3, 3.5. There's no doubt the clubs need more coverage. I can't remember a start to the season when more clubs have needed as many development players as we've seen. We've seen the Bulldogs rely on them. We've seen Melbourne rely on them. That's just to name a few off the top of my head. So there's no doubt that they need to go beyond their top 30 list. The interesting thing with 38-man squad with 8 supplementaries included is what's that mean for expansion in the long run? Because we talk about whether there's enough players. Well, we're talking about 30 times 17 or 30 times 18 or 30 times 20 when we talk about squad lists. If we start talking about 38 times 17, 38 times 18, 38 times 20, that's an incredibly large amount of players. I mean, just on numbers alone, that's an extra, we'd be looking at requiring, sorry, my maths has disappeared on me there, but we'd be requiring a lot more players to cover expansion sides. So, there's probably follow-on questions from that. But, at the end of the day, I think there's no doubt we're going to go to larger squad sizes, not smaller squad sizes, particularly given the concussion rule, which now forces players out, as well as just the number of injuries we've seen in rugby league. And also, let's be honest, the number of suspensions we see because the rules are harder to try and stop concussions from happening.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's the extra players, like you say. And I just mentioned that point. I mean, it wasn't too long ago, Scotty, where we were sitting around saying, does the league have enough players to make up another team? And the Dolphins come in and show that you can absorb other players from elsewhere and start with a competitive team. We don't know how that's going to end this season, but at least they start with a competitive team and they've shown that there's certainly enough players to go to that. If you look at another So we've got another squad, for instance, if we have an 18th team, there's 38. If we go to 19 and then 20 teams, you've got another 114 players just in your base. Just in your base. And plus you've got to add all the new players to around the league as well.
8 times 17.
There
you
go.
Exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a fair few players out there that we'd need to find. History will tell us that every time we expand, it's going to work out essentially anyway. So the other part is the finances. What happens then to the finances of the game?
Well, that's it. And I know Clint Newton saying in the paper today in the Telegraph that, you know, the RLPA have ensured that the game would be able to cover that and that there would be enough in the purses for the players to be able to cover the extra players. And I guess the important thing is that we're talking about supplementary players. So those players wouldn't be on the minimum contract of $120,000 as it's currently proposed by the NRL per year or whatever it ends up at, that they would be on a lesser wage than that, just like train and trialists and New South Wales Cup or development players are not on that $120,000. So there probably is, it's probably not as difficult as it seems financially to cover it because that money is already outlaid. It just doesn't come under the current salary cap. So in that sense, I don't know that that's as much of a concern as you'd initially think.
Mm. Yeah, so watch this space. That one, I'm interested in this. So the Parramatta Eels, now there's been a lot of talk about their draw, playing three teams coming off the bye. They had the Seagulls, obviously, on the weekend. They got the Panthers and then the Roosters. So have they been in touch with the NRL here and what's been the response?
Yeah, so Parramatta have sort of loathed to use as an excuse, but there's no question that it's a massive disadvantage. I mean, especially on a week like this where, you know, teams have come off temperatures 30, 32, 30 plus degrees they're playing in, coming up against the Penrith side who are able to put their feet up. I know they had a camp down in Kiama, but have largely been able to put their feet up for over the weekend and relax. So it is a disadvantage that the Eels haven't directly complained, but we did ask the NRL about it yesterday. Their position is that over the course of the season, things will even out. Brisbane also. So in total, Parramatta have four games against teams who come off the bye. They have one more later in the season. Brisbane also have four. I think there's seven teams that have three games, and every side across the board has at least one match against a team that comes off the bye. But, you know, there's still no doubt that Parramatta have been disadvantaged in this. The NRL's argument is that, you know, they didn't overlook it. They were fully aware when they produced the draw that this was the case. It's not something that's, you know, an error, so to speak. But it's just that you can only fit so many combinations of the draw into the matrix to, you know, allow for club requests and major events and stadium availability and all those kind of things. And, you know, potentially in the future that they need to look to not have this situation again. I tell you, it's funny though, Matty, I was having a look at it last night just because the NRL also said, well, look, it's not as bad as it was back in the day. We had a year where a team essentially followed the bye through the competition, and that was Penrith in 1999, who I think 13 of their 24 games were against a team who had just come off the bye. So that was quite bad. So it's not quite as bad as that. But yeah, look, the NRL defended it, but at the same time, I think everyone kind of knows this is not the way it should be. It is definitely a disadvantage.
Well, it's interesting too when you think about it, and the byproduct of the bye is not just the fact that one team misses out, therefore one team's whole supporter base doesn't get engaged in that weekend's rugby league. It's that now we have this flow-on effect of teams like Parramatta, for instance, and like you say, Brisbane, and then the others with three that have to now face the teams coming off the bye. There's a very, very simple answer to it, isn't there, Scotty? It's get rid of the bye, bring in the 18th team. So, again, when you look at the everything's coming back to expansion. We're thinking about the problems of the bye. The answer is expansion. So if you were flying the flag at NRL headquarters for expansion, you'd say, well, here we go. The bye's causing these problems plus other problems. The best way to do it is to fast-track an 18th team. We've got teamless.
You say that. So yep. So I was going to say you say that, but it's funny. I was having that conversation with the NRL yesterday. But there's also the other side of it, which is like we just had a weekend where games were played in excessive heat. Yeah. Sunday's game at Belmore was almost delayed because they went into the black zone, which means the conditions were not fit for football, essentially. And at the moment, they don't have a 2 o'clock game on a Sunday afternoon. But if we go to 18 teams or eventually 20 teams, then where are we going to fill these slots? Like all of a sudden in summer, you're going to need that 2 o'clock game on a Sunday afternoon or, you know, and then yeah. When it comes to the draw, all of a sudden there's more machinations. Okay, the buys aren't an issue, but then you know, there's venue availability and there's club requests. So like, it's sort of like it'll solve one issue, but there's then there's all the other issues that come with it, which aren't as easy, you know?
Exactly. Maybe a Thursday night doubleheader. I don't know. I've never really thought about that. Actually, while I've got you, is there any reason behind the fact that there are three Sunday games this weekend?
I haven't asked the question, but my guess would be... The Warriors play on Sunday, don't they? So my guess would be it gives the Warriors a Sunday afternoon game or a day game rather than a Friday night game. They often have that 6 o'clock Friday slot. Gotcha. So give them an afternoon game, and therefore it gives you the three on a Sunday and without having one in the middle of the day in Australia.
In Australia, yeah. So they've got a 2 o'clock start.
That's it against the Bulldogs,
Warriors v Bulldogs. Yeah, that's the point. So the two games on Saturday for this round and then the three on Sunday afternoon. Question without notice for you there, mate. Teamless Tuesday tonight. Are we expecting any major rattles aside from what may come out of the judiciary?
The Tigers are probably the club to watch, aren't they? Whether they move Adam Dewey to fullback, whether they move him to the centres, whether they keep him in the halves. Whether they play Brandon Wakeham in the halves alongside Luke Brooks. I think Luke Brooks is safe despite, shall we say, an underwhelming performance on Sunday, to say the least, bar that 5 minutes. But they, you know, I think they did like what they saw with Wakeham and Brooks together. Brooks has always, in my opinion, been a better player when he's not the controlling half, when he can just essentially be the 5'8", which is what Brandon Wakeham kind of allowed him to do there late in that game. So, you know, Tim Sheen hinted after that match that we might see some more of Adam Dewey at fullback. So whether they pull the trigger on that this weekend or they stick with Wakeham on the bench, that's probably the most interesting thing for me. And then, yeah, judiciary tonight. Geez, I'd love to see Felice Kaufusi play in this Battle of Brisbane, as they call it. Yeah. I don't know that he's going to get off, but geez, it would be great to see. Melbourne's a big question mark there with Jerome Hughes challenging too, given Cameron Munster is still in significant doubt, as I understand it, for this game on the weekend after that finger injury. So they could be without Jerome Hughes and Cameron Munster. I think it's only the second time in 2.5 years they could miss them both for one match if Hughes is out. So they're probably the big things tonight, I reckon.
Yeah, we'll wait and see on that as well. Good on you, Scott. Appreciate your time this morning.
Pleasure, Matty. Have a great day.